You know, in the Bible, whenever God would change someone's name, it meant that there was a new prophetic and significant moment that was about to happen. When God changed Jacob's name to Israel, that was a powerful spiritual moment in his life. Even Cephas, Jesus said, I'm going to now call you Peter, which means rock. And that became a significant moment. So when God changes his name, there's important spiritual meaning in that. So we're so excited about the journey that our ministry to women who are at risk in our community, our state, and even in, from New Mexico, that the next iteration and step for us is not only a new location, as Audra mentioned, when we move from 34th Street to where we're at right now, but a name change. New wine, new wineskin, new ministry, new opportunity to reach as many at-risk, vulnerable women in our community, and I thank God for that. Woo! I'm excited. If you've never heard of our Women's Center for Her, please jump online and find out more about it. And you may know someone, or you may find yourself in a moment of great need. We're there for you with love. We are for her. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Here's the message. I've entitled it, The Hunt. The Hunt. I love lions, and we're going to talk about lions today and the spiritual significance and meaning of lions. In the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And our great Christian school, we're known as the Trinity Lions. Please stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word out of love and respect for the reading of the Scripture. One verse of Scripture to open up with, Psalm 57:4, and here is the Word of the Lord. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for this Holy Sabbath, this gathering of the saints that happened last night and today in all of our services. Thank you for the powerful anointed worship. Thank you for the communion. Thank you, Father God, for now the breaking of the spiritual bread of life. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. I thank you that the psalmist described the battle he was in by being surrounded by lions. And I thank you that, Lord, in life, either we're the hunter or the hunted, the prey or the predator. And I pray that we would become the hunter. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about lions, but first, let's talk about how the world really is divided between dog lovers and cat lovers. How many dog owners do we have? Raise your hand. All right. How many cat owners? We're praying for you. Just kidding. So, what's the difference? What is a cat? Cats do what they want. They rarely listen to you. They're totally unpredictable. When you want to play, they want to be alone. When you want to be alone, they want to play. They expect you to cater to their every whim. They're moody and they leave hair everywhere. Conclusion, they're tiny women in little fur coats. What's a dog? Dogs spend all day sprawled out on the most comfortable piece of furniture in the house. They can hear a package of food opening half a block away, but they don't hear you when you're in the same room. They look dumb and lovable at the same time. They growl when they're not happy, and when you want to play, they want to play. When you don't want to play, they want to play. They leave their toys everywhere. Conclusion, they're tiny men in little fur coats. Dogs and cats. But today, we're talking about lions. There's a great verse on lions, quite a few verses. The Bible says you're to be as bold as a lion, for the righteous are as bold as a lion. Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And here in Ezekiel 19:3, it says this, she raised one of her cubs to become a strong lion. He learned to hunt and devour prey and became a man-eater. If I've ever found a parenting verse in the Bible, it's right here. We're to raise our young cubs as parents. We're to teach them how to be strong young lions. We're to teach them how to hunt, how to, you know, determine a target in life, a goal in life, and how to work hard and prepare themselves to achieve that goal. They're to learn to hunt. They're to learn to devour prey. And they're to become a man-eater. Parenting basically is raising young cubs, young lions, and young lionesses. And all young lions and lionesses have to learn how to hunt, because either you are the prey or the predator. Either you're the hunter or you're the hunted. You're either surviving or surrendering. You're either succeeding or sinking. You're either advancing or you are retreating in life. There's another great verse in that same chapter, Ezekiel 19. Look at verse 6. He prowled among other lions and stood out among them in his strength. He learned to hunt and devour prey, and he too became a man-eater. Now, what in the world is Ezekiel talking about? Well, to be true to the context of Scripture, in the 19th chapter, God gives Ezekiel a lamentation, a prophecy, a message about Judah, the people of God, and the princes of Judah. And the nation of God, the people of God, are compared to a lion with princes as cubs. And two cubs become the prince of the nation of Israel. And Judah, Abraham's son, Judah, which became the tribe of Judah, which became the royal lineage of Messiah. King David came from the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. So this is a powerful, beautiful imagery that speaks of how God intends for his people to be in a jungle, in the wild west, in the wilderness of this world of sin, how they are to be the hunter, not the hunted, the prey, not the predator, how they're to be the king of the beast, the king of the jungle. But if you read the entire 19th chapter of Ezekiel, you find out that these young cubs that become the rulers in Judah, they only last 3 months, 3.5 months, and then they are carried away into bondage in Egypt, and then into bondage into Babylon. So that's the context. But let's take this beautiful imagery, how God compared his people to a lion and his rulers as cubs that grew up to be lions, and let's apply that to our lives. First of all, I love lions. You know, people have asked me, if you could be any animal, what animal would you be? Well, I really don't like that question because, let me know, none of us are going to become animals, right? We were created in the image and likeness of God. It's a hypothetical question based on the presupposition that that could ever happen, which is not going to happen. But let's say it did happen. What kind of animal would you want to be? Now, there was a guy, my son Nathan, he's kind of my sermon resource helper, right? And he brought up a great point. He said, there is a guy in the Bible that did become an animal, and Nebuchadnezzar. For 7 years, because of his pride, he became and acted like an animal. You can read that in the book of Daniel. It's quite amazing. For 7 years. So maybe there was a man that became a lion that became back to a man. Sounds like a book of Narnia or something like that. So if you could be any animal, what would it be? I said, well, if it's in the ocean, I want to be a killer whale. You know why? Because I want to be at the top of the food chain. I don't know about you. I want to be the eater, not the eaten, right? And if it's on land, I'd want to be a lion. Because they are the king of the jungle. Now, lions, here's some unique characteristics of lions. Number one, lions are the only big cats to live in groups, and those groups are called what? Lions. See, you've been listening to National Geographic. You might know more about lions than you do about the sermon today. But anyway, lions live in prides, because a solo lion becomes what? Lunch for the hyenas. They're a natural predator, their natural enemy. So you have to live in a pride. And as Christians, the spiritual application for us is we need to do life in community with others. We need to be a part of a pride, the pride of a local church. We need to be part of a pride, the pride of a youth group if you're a teenager, or the pride of a young adults ministry if you're a young adult, or the pride of a band of brothers, or the pride of women's ministry, or the pride of a dream team. The point is, we don't want to travel through life alone. We need to be in relationship and in community with others. We need to be a church that's raising up young cubs that are learning how to hunt, young cubs who will grow up to be man-eaters, young cubs that become strong lions and strong lionesses. And if we're going to have a church of strong lions and strong lionesses, how many of you know the Church of Jesus Christ, the pulpits in America, they need lions that roar the message of Christ once again? We are in desperate need of that. The old saying is, better to be sheep led by a lion than lions led by a sheep. And we need lions leading the body of Christ in these last days. Number two, The second unique characteristic of lions is that lions roar to communicate their position to other prides. Have you ever heard the roar of a lion? We were at San Diego Zoo one time, and I heard the roar of a lion. Did you know that their roar can be heard to up to 5 mile radius? How incredible is that? A 5 mile radius. And you know what, church? If you want to apply this spiritually, when we assemble together for church, there should be a roar of prayer and a roar of worship that comes out of Trinity Church. And in a 5 mile radius, every demon, every devil should know church has begun at Trinity. Amen. So I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you to step up your worship. I'm going to ask all of us, take your worship to that next level, which means for some, start opening your mouth doing worship. Unless you're a newbie, and that's cool. If you're here for the first time, I expect you to be looking around like, wow, this church is loud. Those lights are bright. Those people up on that stage are excited. Yeah, what's going on here? We're worshiping. And eventually the bug will bite you. And you'll be worshiping along with us. See, we come here because it's not a concert, it's not a performance. It is a worship service. And all of us should be roaring in our praise to God. Psalm 81:10 says, open your mouth and God will fill it. So open your mouth and let the praises of God fill your mouth. And church, I'm serious, but let's begin to sing like we have never, my English minor son, sing like we've never sung before. See, is it sang or sung? I don't pay attention to that. I got more important things for my brain power to be used on. But let us sing like we've never sung before starting next week. Starting next week, okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, starting next week. So lions roar to communicate their position to the other pride. Number three, lions are caring mothers who will take care of a neglected cub. Isn't that beautiful? This pride of lionesses, if another lioness is injured in battle or is killed, one lioness will take another lioness's cubs and help raise them. You know, sometimes animals are better than humans. Wow. And as mothers raising children, you need help. You need a supportive family and husband, of course. You need a supportive church and community to help you raise those young cubs to be strong lions and strong lionesses. And that's why we need others. We need others to lead on, especially single moms. My wife and I, before we ever came to Lubbock, our former church, we met in the singles ministry and got married. And then I ended up becoming the pastor of the singles ministry. And we love and care for single moms and dads. I used to always talk about single moms in our singles ministry, and I had a couple of single dads. I said, don't forget about us. Sometimes wives leave their husbands alone, and they're raising their kids. And so my heart goes out to both single parents. Parenting's the toughest job you'll have. It's the hardest thing in life you'll ever do, the most rewarding thing, but the hardest thing you'll ever do. And that's why it takes a loving mother and a loving father. But sometimes it didn't work that way, and you find yourself as a single mom raising that family alone. But you're not alone. God's a father to the fatherless. He's a husband to the widow. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And thank God for churches like Trinity that can come alongside of you and help you in children's ministry or youth ministry. But lionesses are caring mothers. Actually, lionesses are pretty cool. You know, they do most of the work in the pride. See, once again, it transfers from the kingdom of the animals to the kingdom of men. Lionesses are the ones that do what? All the hunting. The male lions just sit around. And then the lionesses go out, kill the food, and then let him eat first. That's what I'm talking about. But the lion's responsibility is? His responsibility? Find a lioness to mate with. Oh, no. You know, it's much simpler in the kingdom of animals. They've got this figured. There's not a lot of confusion amongst a pride. They don't have Netflix, Disney, YouTube. Not a lot of confusion. Baby cub lion grows up, starts looking and noticing lionesses. They get together and have cubs, and that's how survival, that's how they perpetuate the pride. Is that a little bit too basic of biology for you? Am I going to get canceled now? Yeah, it's necessary, right? But the lions, you know what their job? Their job is to protect. Oh, yeah. Because when an outsider lion comes in trying to sniff around, the lion sets up a perimeter, a security perimeter, and he marks his territory. And if you dare to come close to his perimeter, he gets up. You've seen the videos, right? He confronts them, and most of the time he is so awesome, he completely scares the other lion away. And sometimes they'll get in a scrap and he'll let him know who the boss is. Every man in here, you're to set up a spiritual security perimeter around your life, around your family, and you are to be the defender and the protector of your family against the lies of the enemy. And why is that important? Look at 1 Peter 5:8. Say those first two words with me. Stay alert. Say them again. Stay alert. Why, Peter? Watch out, he said, for your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And look at how the devil is devouring whole homes today. Marriages, souls, lives, churches, communities, cities, nations are being devoured by the devil. You know, when I was a kid, we really had the best cartoons. Cartoons today are so confusing. The cartoon figures are just scary looking to me. But I remember growing up with cartoons like Sylvester and the Cat, Tweety Bird. And as a kid growing up, I actually wanted, Sylvester to get Tweety Bird because I thought, poor guy's hungry. And I thought, what an inept cat. You can't get a bird in a cage like, hello, if lunch isn't set up for you, I don't know what is. But Sylvester, he was inept. And he had two obstacles. What were Sylvester's two obstacles? Granny and Granny's trusted dog, Hector. Right? Now, you had to love Tweety Bird because, he even felt bad for the dumb cat because he could never get to him. And remember the famous line of Tweety Bird? I thought I saw a putty cat, right? And we laugh and we joke, and it's cute. When it comes to the devil, he's not like Sylvester. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you're either the hunter or the hunted, the prey or the predator. And I want to declare to you this weekend, it's hunting season. And you and I need to be on the hunt for Christ. You think about hunting. Some of you are job hunting right now. Some of you might be house hunting right now. Some of you might be spouse hunting right now. True story, a woman raised her hand last night in the Saturday night service. She raised her hand. Some actually raised it. Yes, Pat, I'm me. I'm husband hunting. And she came up afterwards and she said, Pastor Carl, she was with her brother. She said, I raised my hand and a man came up to me and introduced himself to me. I said, well, there you go. I said, but wait, is he marriage material? And she got this look on her face. And she said, he's right over there. Now, his back was turned to us. And she pointed to this older fellow. I go, no, he's not for you, marriage material. No. If you want me to help vet, ladies, let me know. Well, we will help vet who's marriage material. Listen, every young man in here, you're hunting for your manhood. Every young woman, you're hunting for your femininity, for your womanhood. And it's never been more difficult. Because the lie of the enemy is now the law of the land. The lie of the enemy that wants you to question your sexuality, wants you to question your identity, wants you to question, listen, I love you. I know there are people in here that are struggling and they have feelings for the same sex. What are feelings? They're so fickle. Don't trust your feelings. You see, feelings come, feelings go, feelings shift, feelings change. What you feel in your teens, you may not feel in your 20s. What you feel in your 20s, you may not feel in your 30s. You don't deny your feelings, but you have to sometimes ignore your feelings. And just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that's who you are. You are not what you feel, you are what you do. Action is what matters. And action determines character, which determines habit, which determines destiny. So just because you feel a certain way, don't let the lies of the enemy begin to compound in your own doubtful mind that this is the way God made me or this is the way I'm supposed to be. Oh, God has so much more for you, friend. And don't listen to what Netflix and Disney and Amazon Prime and all the social media and all the nonsense that is out there. Listen to what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, in life, a person, the worth and the value of your life, Friedrich Nietzsche said something like this. He said, your worth as a human is determined on your level and ability to accept truth. You know, today people, they want to cancel right away. Every time I talk like this, I'm like, if you're not going to hear it here, where are you going to hear it? Where are you going to go in your life the rest of this week where you're going to hear somebody that's going to challenge conventional wisdom? If it doesn't happen in church, it's not going to happen maybe in your homes prayerfully, amongst your family and some friends and relationships. But by and large, churches and pastors have become silent on the issue, and we're losing an entire generation of young people. We love you enough to reach out to you with the word of truth, with the word of God, for it's truth that sets people free. And the lions need to roar once again in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's hunting season. And I want to encourage you to don't give up on the hunt of finding your identity of who you truly are. No matter what your struggles and doubts or failures may have been up to this point in time, a new chapter, a new season, a new beginning can be yours. Now, there are three people in the Bible that actually killed lions. Three people. And the first one is Samson. Samson in Judges 14, he's kind of introduced to us in the Bible. In the 14th chapter, he's hunting for a wife. Now, we could knock Samson, you know, and he did some really bad things. And in the end, God helped him, restored him, because everything's redeemable. No matter what mistakes and battles we've had in life, under God, everything's redeemable. Let's just have a praise break right there and thank him for that. So he's hunting for a wife. He's just hunting for the wrong one. He falls in love with this woman, a Philistine woman. Beware, guys, of Philistine women. But he wanted her. Matter of fact, the Bible actually says this. He says, Dad, I want to marry that woman in Timnah. And his dad says, isn't there any women amongst our people? And he said, no, I want to marry her. And it says this in the Bible, for she pleases me well. Pleased what well? Not his head. He wasn't using it, right? So he's on the road to Timnah because he wants to marry this Philistine woman. And give him credit because at least he wants to marry her. He didn't want to shack up with her. Uh-oh, did I just say that? Uh-oh, you thought it was controversial a moment ago? Pause. Let's talk about that for a moment. I know there are people here in church, don't look at me guilty because I don't judge you. I'm not your judge. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. If you really love somebody, you won't be shacking up with them. You won't be cohabitating with them. You, guys, if you love that girl, girls, don't let him deceive you. If he loves you, he will put a ring on that finger. Oh, yes. It's called the Holy Covenant of Marriage. The Holy Covenant of Marriage. You say, well, I don't believe in marriage. Look at all the problems of marriage, even Christian marriages, 50% aren't landing. We don't believe. God believes in marriage. Matter of fact, before God established the church, he established marriage. Before God established the government, he established marriage. He brought one man and one woman together, and he performed the first wedding ceremony, and he said, the two shall become one flesh in the bonds of holy matrimony. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. And it's more than a piece of paper. It's a covenant. And listen, if you're a Christian and you and Christ is the Lord of your life and you want to serve him, you're going to get married or you're going to get separate apartments. Amen. You say, well, that's not that easy. I know. So we do office weddings here. If you're living in sin and you want to honor God, we'll get you married. Amen. Okay? We'll do it. We'll get you married. Because listen, in life, you don't want to be a renter. You want to be an owner. And living together, you're renting. It's month to month, 6 month lease, year lease. But when you buy, it's for life. And marriage is until death do you part. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for marriage. It's a divine covenant. So Samson's on his way to marry this woman in Timnah. How'd I get off on that? Oh, he went to marry this, marry, not move in with. Marry this woman in Timnah. And a lion out of nowhere attacks him. Now, that lion was dumb. He picked the wrong guy to try to eat that day because Samson had this supernatural strength. So powerful was Samson's strength, and the Spirit of God came upon him that he took the jawbone of a donkey in chapter 15, and he slays 1,000 Philistines. So this lion comes out to attack Samson. He tears it apart with his bare hands, the Bible says. He rips the lion's mouth and kills it. And then it says this. It's quite interesting there in Judges 14, 5, and 6. It says this, but he didn't tell his mother or father. I want to pause there, and for a prophetic moment, I want to encourage every young person in here, whatever battles you're facing or going through, be sure and talk to your parents about those battles. Don't face those battles alone. You say, well, I don't have a mother or a father. I don't have a mother or father I could maybe confide in. Find a spiritual father, a spiritual mother. Find someone that you can talk through the battles you're facing in life to make sure that you're not facing those battles alone. Because what happened with Samson is he tore into the lion in Judges 14, but a lioness by the name of Delilah tore into him in Judges chapter 16. So you want to keep your spiritual guard up. This first lion represents the lion of lust. The lion of lust that every man will have to fight his entire life, and even women these days. A lion of lust. And this lion of lust cannot be defeated in your own strength. But this line of lust can be defeated by the Spirit of God and the help of heaven as the Spirit of God comes into our lives. And we yield, we yield to the Holy Spirit. The second lion killer is David. And this is an incredible story. You know the story in 1 Samuel 17. David is, you know, keeping his father's sheep, and his dad sends him on a Grubhub delivery. You know, I don't believe in Grubhub. Now, if you own Grubhub, God bless you, tithe here. And if you work for Grubhub, I pray that your business would prosper. I don't order food from Grubhub because I don't know what happens to my food from the time it leaves the skillet and gets in your hands and is in your car and arrives at my house. I'll order my own food, thank you very much, and I myself will go pick it up. But David is on a Grubhub delivery. He's delivering bread and cheese to his brothers on the battlefield. And when he gets there, he finds out that there's no battle going on, that this giant of a man, Goliath, is mocking Almighty God and mocking the armies of Israel. And David says, I'll kill that giant. Now, how was he and why was he so confident that he could kill Goliath? Because he said, as tending my father's sheep, whenever a lion or a bear would come out, I would grab him by the beard and with the club, I would kill him. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Right? He says, this giant is no different. So if the first lion that Samson killed was a lion, represented a lion of lust, this lion that David killed leading up to killing Goliath is a lion of insignificance. You know, in life, you're going to have to battle your own lion of insignificance. Feeling that you are insignificant. Feeling that you're not up to the occasion. Feeling that the circumstances are going to get the better of you. Feeling as though you're insignificant. You see, David, his dad doubted him. His brothers doubted him. King Saul initially doubted him. How can you go out and fight this guy? He's been killing people since he was your age, right? The line of insignificance, of beginning to think and feel that you are insignificant, that your life doesn't matter, that your life doesn't count for anything, that you will never really achieve anything meaningful in your life. There is not a bigger lie that can come out of hell than that lie of your insignificance, because you and I need to come to the determination and the understanding of who we are in Christ. So David defeated his line of insignificance, which allowed him to face his giant in life and overcome that giant. And I want you to know that you can overcome whatever giant is in your way if you will allow God to help you overcome the lying and the lying of the enemy regarding your significance of who you are in Christ. The third guy that defeated and killed a lion in the Bible is Benaiah. A few weeks ago, my wife preached in midweek. She talked about Benaiah. He's a famous guy in the Bible. And in 2 Samuel 23:20, it says this, there was also Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a valiant warrior from Kabzeel. He did many heroic deeds, which included killing two champions of Moab. Another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down into a pit and killed it. Killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Can you imagine that? Wait a minute. Men don't stalk and kill and chase lions. Lions stalk, chase, and kill men. Not on this day. Now, I haven't proven this, and I don't want to have to prove it. But I've been on safaris, and I've seen lions on a safari in Africa on a missions trip in a Jeep. I was not going to get out of that Jeep to test this. But I heard, if you're alone in the jungle and there's a lion that's about to attack you, the worst thing they say, I don't know if this is true, the worst thing they say is you could do is to run. That lion knows you're done, right? Is to run. What should you do? The experts say, stand there and look as wild and crazy as you can. Maybe even charge the lion. You're still probably going to die, but that gives you the best chance to live. So, Benaiah, he sees this lion, and the lion runs from him, which says what? Lions talk among themselves. And they're like, hey, if you run in this Benaiah dude, he's like a lion killer. Stay away from him. I mean, no, it shouldn't be us running from the enemy. It should be the enemy running from you, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So once again, right, I mean, anyone that preaches from this has to draw attention to the fact it was on a snowy day. Now, no one wants to fight on a cold day. Hey, devil, I don't want to fight today. It's way too cold, man. Let's have an amnesty or a truce. Let's wait till summer. Let's wait till spring, right? Let's wait for a more convenient time, a more convenient circumstances in my life. But sometimes battles come to you at the most inopportune times, when you're your weakest. And that's why we need to all be a part of a pride. So that if you're having a down day, there are some other lions and lionesses that can come to the rescue when the enemy is coming to knock on your door. We need to be there for one another. The first line was a line of lust. The second line was a line of insignificance. This third line is the most important line you're going to have to defeat. It's the line of who will be the king of your life. God bless Benaiah. He was fighting for the rightful, true king established by God and anointed by God. He was fighting for the true and righteous kingdom, the kingdom of God. All other kings were false kings. And in life, friend, all other kings and all other kingdoms are false kings and false kingdoms. You and I must fight the greatest battle, the battle for who will be the king over your soul, the king over your life. And you and I must be on the side of King Jesus, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and his kingdom is eternal. And finally, the fourth guy in the Bible that had an encounter with lions but didn't have to kill them. Maybe your MO is more like Daniel. He didn't have to fight the lions. He had faith that God would supernaturally intervene and protect him from the lions. You know the story in Daniel 6. King Darius, a pagan king, he listens to the deception and the lies of his courtesans. He passes a law because they hated Daniel. They feared Daniel. He passes a law, and he has to enforce the law as the king himself. So he has to throw Daniel in the lion's den. He loved Daniel. He didn't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but his hands were tied. So he throws Daniel in the lion's den. He knows what happens. Everybody gets eaten when they go in a lion's den. And he stayed up all night. He couldn't sleep. He wrestled with he's probably going to be greeted with the following day. He goes to greet Daniel in the morning, and lo and behold, he shouts out, Daniel, Daniel, has the God that you serve continually saved you? And Daniel responds in Daniel 6:22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. Friend, God can shut the mouths of the lying lions in your life. Because sometimes you find yourself in a pit, thrown in a pit of depression, thrown in a pit of despair, thrown in a pit of discouragement, thrown in a pit of debauchery. You're like, how did I get here? Why am I here? And if you're not careful, if you don't keep your faith in God, the lions in that pit will devour you. But if you'll remain faithful to God and trust in him with all of your heart, God will send his angel. And that night, Daniel slept on one side of the pit, and the hungry lions on the other side of the pit. And there was a barrier of protection between Daniel and those hungry lions. And it was the angel of God that defended and protected Daniel. And I'm here to tell you, friend, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. And you might know the story of Elisha. When he was surrounded by a natural enemy, an army coming to destroy and kill him, his servant was fearful. His servant was losing his cool in a moment of crisis. And Elisha reassured him and said, "Lord, open my servant's eyes that he might see." And God opened his spiritual eyes, and there was an army host of angelic beings surrounding Elisha, his tent, and his servant. I want you to know there are more that are for you than are against you. And if God be for you, who could be against you? And no matter what pit you may find yourself in today, God can shut the mouths of those lions. Shut the mouth of insignificance. Shut the mouth of the enemy barking at you, growling at you, intimidating you, threatening you, getting you to question your identity and question your sexuality and question your purpose and the meaning of life. God can shut the mouths of the lions. Well, that next day when the king found that Daniel was alive and his God had rescued him, he was so angry, he decreed that everyone that was part of this conspiracy were to be thrown into that lion's den. And the Bible gives this detail just to squelch any doubters out there that might have said, "Well, of course the lions didn't eat Daniel because, well, after all, they weren't hungry." Yeah. You know what happened when those men were thrown into the pit? They were devoured. The same lions that are devouring so many in our country, in the world today, are the very lions that God can protect you from supernaturally in these last days. Come on, let's thank God, church family. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today. We thank you for the spiritual lessons that we could learn from lions. And Lord, may we take this message to heart, and may the roar of the lion come back to the house of God once again and the people of God. That we would be hungry, hungry for you, hungry for more of you. That we would hunger and thirst after righteousness. That we would become the hunter and not the hunted, the predator and not the prey. That we would advance and not retreat. Pray and ask your blessing now, Lord. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you need to rededicate your life to Christ, whether you're in person or online, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking. If you'll hear his voice and open up the door of your heart and invite Christ to come into your life, you can be born again. If you'll renounce your sins and your sinful ways and turn to God in faith, he loves you unconditionally. He loves you dearly. He will receive you. Christ will come into your life and will change your life from the inside out. Or if you simply, at one time, you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've strayed, you've walked away, you're here today, watching today, and you simply want to rededicate your life to Christ, it's time to come home, prodigal son. Prodigal daughter. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us, but it's so important that you say it with your own mouth and mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord together, church family. God bless.